The Lord is not one who deals with his people in a haphazard way. He always does things in a fair and equitable way. No one will be able to accuse the Lord for his decisions or judgments. We know at the end of time, when the Lord did judge people, he will never judge an innocent person to hell. He will never condemn an innocent person. The Lord says, all men shall be rewarded according to his words, right? So he will not say, I hate you, so go to hell. That's not what he's going to do. He's going to examine every man according to his words. He is a just God. You know, there are a lot of people who say, I don't understand a God who will send people to hell. He's a cruel God. How can he punish people in fire forever? He's a bad God. He's not a just God. He's unfair. He's not gracious. I don't believe in such a God. We understand what they are saying, because they are saying things according to their own thinking. They forget the fact that God is fair, God is just, God is good, God is kind, God is holy. He will never do anything that is not according to his perfect righteousness. You see, the people who argue like this, when you sin against God, sometimes those sins are very small. Why do they say it's a small? It's a small lie. Why? I'm trying to save my skin. You know, if I tell the truth, people would harm me, so I told the lie. Should it be okay? Interesting. But let me say something to you. When you sin against God, that sin, no matter how small you might think in your own puny mind, it is an eternal sin. I sometimes explain like this. If my son says to I have two sons, let's say they are quarreling, and one son says to the other son, get lost! Don't disturb me. Well, I will say, children, behave yourself. Don't be rude. Sorry. And after a while, the same son, when I was telling him something, tells me, get lost, sir! No, same words, same attitude. But you never think it is a small matter. If a child says to the father to get lost, it's something else. And he gets out of the house and he goes out and he was smoking, suppose. He doesn't smoke, but he smoking, threw a cigarette butt on the floor. And the policeman says, hey, what did you do? Where's your IC? Get lost, huh? And now that's going to be a serious offense. You'll be called up by the judge. And he goes to the judge. And the judge says, young man, is that true on this day at this place you did this? And he says, get lost, he said to the judge. You know he's going to sit in the prison for a while. For serious. It's the same thing. Just the same words. Get lost. Two words. But against whom you say that matters. Your sins are against God. And when you commit a sin against an eternal God, it is eternally punishable. Never forget who your God is. And there is no injustice with God. You must always remember, there is absolutely no injustice with God. And when you are being questioned by God, don't feel bitter. Don't feel it's not fair. If you have any such feeling, you better rebuke yourself quickly and say, be silent. Listen to God. If I want some form of rescue from my disastrous life, I better allow God to search. That's why David would say in Psalm 139, search me, O God. Search me, O God. We even have a hymn based on that. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Right? We sing that song. You know, if you search yourself, you will not find your mistakes. Why? Because your thinking is already clouded with sin. Your perception is not perfect. Your judgment is not correct. And you would like to excuse yourself. Never be satisfied with your own question. If God would investigate your life, it's a frightening thing, it's a fearsome thing, but that's better. It's better that He examine us today and tell us to repent than He examines us on the day of judgment when there is no more repentance. Yes? So let's thank God. Here we have some questions to consider. And these questions are from God. And that's for our restoration. Thank God it's not a time of retribution. Now, when that comes, it will be a horrible day when no man shall escape. So let's pray as we begin these questions. Lord, search my heart. Teach me where I've gone wrong. Draw me back from my backside. Verse 4. Will thou not from this time cry unto me? God says, will you not cry to me? My Father, thou art the guide of my youth. The Lord is asking this question. Now God establishes a kind of relationship with us in very, very endearing terms. In the previous three verses, we notice He's using this marital relationship as a depiction of our relationship with Him, right? Like a husband and wife. And here He uses the word of a father-son relationship. And He then the endearing way tells us, will thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father? It's not just Father, but what? My Father. In a personal way. Whenever you read through the book of Psalms, one outstanding thing that you will see that God's servants always related to God in a very personal manner. Like you said, the Lord is my shepherd. You see that? My shepherd. Or the Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my sun and shield. The Lord is my rock of salvation. And there is this endearing affection and intimacy between God and His people. It's a very personal one, very strong one, a very vibrant one also. And so God is urging you, why don't you consider this and come to me as your father? Call me. When my little boy, I have two sons, the first one when I was born, you know, my wife used to tell him, say daddy, and daddy. And I think the first word he said is dada, not mama. Because my wife always said daddy. You know, sometimes after my son was born, she always called me also daddy. Somehow, so she calls me on daddy sometimes, you know. Of course, now it changed a bit. Children grow up. They still call me daddy, but I suppose it's more official than affectionate now. When I tell you this, it's just the way it is. I'm surprised. They still love me, I know, but you know, when people change with age, their approach also change. So when my boy was very young, he was told to call me daddy. But when he came to church, there are so many daddies, right? I mean, there are so many children of his age, about 10 of them, all of the same age. And most of us were young adults at that time, just married, and our children were there. And every child was called their father daddy. And my son suddenly shifted and he said, my daddy. So he always called me my daddy. I never taught him, but somehow he said, my daddy, especially in the church. I even go home, he call me my daddy. Oh, I was very happy. You know, he take me as his daddy. Of course, I'm his daddy. But to hear that from my son, among many daddies, he identifies by saying, my daddy. That was very special. Yes, he did that until he was primary 3, I think. Primary 4, my daddy dropped off to, and became daddy. Of course, still he called me daddy. Then I said, yeah, I don't know when it becomes Da. You know, from my daddy to daddy, and then dad, and then Da. And then Ha. It becomes less and less with time. Well, of course, this is not to blame him, but the affection that you feel when somebody says my is very special. And God teaches us to say my father. Are you able to say to God my father in a sincere way? Do you feel that affiliation with God? This is an investigation that the Lord wants you to consider. Do you take him as your father? Do you give him that reverence in your relationship? He is your maker. He gives you all things. Jesus said, it is Gentiles who worry about what they will put on or what they will eat. But your heavenly Father, he says that, your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things in Matthew chapter 6, right? So he is a God who created you. He takes care of you and he redeems you. He has a supreme and absolute right over you. And he says, will you not call me my father? Can you imagine that? God of heavens stoops down and says, hey child, a young man, why don't you call me my father? What an adoring relationship God wants to set up between you and him. Ask yourself, ready to call him my father? Am I ready to live before him as his child, as his child, as his son? Jesus often prayed, saying, my father. He taught us to pray what? Our Father who art in heaven. Jesus himself tells us, don't you forget, he has given you the right to be the sons of God. And also he has adopted you and made you heirs of divine blessings. And you are joint heirs with me. Joint heirs with Christ. That which God offers to us in the form of sonship is an eternal relationship which is endued with all the heavenly blessings that only sons can inherit. But that's what he extended to us. What does a father do in guiding, in caring for his children? You know, just imagine this. When I go for a walk with my son when they was young, I always hold his hand. Why? Because I'm afraid he may trip on a stone or a root of the tree and fall. So I try to hold him. When he's running, I also start walking fast after him, you know. I sometimes let him run, but I want to be somewhere near so I can hold him even in case he falls. And if he's running fast in a way, what would I say? Boy, wait! Son, don't run! Wait! What does he do when he gets lost? Once we were having lunch after Sunday service, you know, it was at Tampines Mart. Is it Tampines Mart? Yeah. Street 32 or somewhere there. Yeah. Huh? Near the East Spring School. Right, yeah. It was many years ago when my son was very young. Yeah, 3 years old. Now he's 25. That was 22 years ago. He's now 23. So it's about 20 years ago. We were all having lunch and, you know, we took him out of the pram and let him stand there. We were talking, all church people were talking. Suddenly he disappeared. Don't know where he is. Panic. Look all over the coffee shop, cannot find him. And everybody said, okay, let's split. Let's go, one go this way, and everybody split. And finally, what our elder was looking for him, and he is the one who found it. He went into the cold storage. There was a cold storage at the time. Is it still there? All right. I've not gone there for years now. And so he went into the cold storage. He was looking at the apple. I mean, don't know what. He's taking apple and looking. And that's what the elder described to me. Come on, this young boy. And so the elder said, Cornelius. And look at him. My daddy. That's the first thing he said. He didn't say, my elder. He is looking for me at that moment. He suddenly realized something gone wrong. And he doesn't want the apple. He drops it and cried, my daddy! So the elder carried him and brought him to me. Of course, when I saw him, feel like spanking him, where'd he go? Of course, because he was crying, being a big part, calm down, that's it. When you lose your way, you look for your father, right? And my children in the darkness of the night cry. Suddenly I wake up. You know, sometimes lightning and thunder cannot wake me up. But my sons will wake me up. Like a shooting out of my bed, I will jump up. So does my wife. If there's lightning and thunder, I just pull the blanket and cover my face and sleep well. And not my sons cry. And he used to wake me up every 20 minutes in the night. For the first 8 months, he never slept well. We had very bad sleep in those days. For every 20 minutes, we are willing to wake up, even though we are so tired. You know, waking up every 20 minutes, every night, for 8 months. But that boy never slept. We would do that, because he cries, crying for the parents. And sometimes, you know, we don't really have to carry him. Most of the time we have to carry him because he's very restless at night, he cries. But sometimes we put our hand on him and just pat him. Sleep, boy. Sleep, sleep, sleep. That's all we need. Just the voice and the touch. And he will go to sleep. And when God says, call me Father, in the midst of such backsliding, oh, love at its best, isn't it? So he's asking, are you able to call me my Father? Would you appreciate that relationship? Would you accept his hand that he stretches out to you, to guide you, to comfort you? You may be worn out with fatigue. You may be so embarrassed about your own sins. You may be falling prey to lust and worldliness. And the hand that you need the most is your Heavenly Father's hand. Please take it. Are you going to do it? I hope you will say it right now to your God. Yes, Father. Oh God, thank you. Thank you. Be my Father. Help me, guide me. Thou art the guide of my youth. You notice that? Verse 4. The guide of my youth. He wants to guide you as your father in your youthful days. May I tell you, you know, young boys and girls, what you do can put a great dent on your life for the rest of your life. Or from here you can flourish and be a very strong testimony. A very strong, powerful Christian life. I know of a young boy who came to me and said, you know, Pastor Kushi, I'm very sad. Actually, I'd like to serve God full time, but I have some problems. I said, what? I did some bad things. I took a girl out and we slept together and the whole church knew about it. But then we broke off and the girl also in the church, parents are angry with me. And I'm very sorry about all these things and I cannot get back to the girl because she doesn't like me anymore. I want to serve God, can I? There you go. You want to serve God full time? You think that family would accept? He said, damn it. As a Christian, he did it. You are no more blameless. Are you with me? It's not that God wouldn't forgive. God forgive. But your usefulness is now affected a great deal. That's why the youth ministry in the church is so important. We don't want you to get into a situation where your life will be tarnished for the rest of your life. Of course, God will forgive, God will restore. But if you repent, even if you repent, some of the consequences are not easy to be erased. And they will not go. And so the Lord wants you to guide you now in these youthful days. When, you know, this is the time where young people often say, I don't need your help. You know, that's the attitude toward the parents. When the parents caution you, hey boy, where are you going? Where are you going? Why are you asking me all the time, where am I going? What time I'm coming back? Where am I? You keep on SMSing me, you keep on calling me. Ayah, cannot be like that. Nah. You get very irritated. Why? Your parents know for sure from their own experience and experience of others that young people must be guided. But they are growing into adulthood and they want everybody to appreciate their adults. You cannot. Please accept what the Bible says. Youthful days are a time when you need to be guided. I know certain parents take the attitude or approach known as hands-off. And then one parent told me, I want to take a hands-off approach to my children. And my philosophy is that let them learn through their mistakes. I got a shock of my life. Let them learn through their mistakes. Is it what the Bible says? You go back and read the book of Proverbs. Read. All the conversations that are recorded from the first 8 chapters of Proverbs are between a father and son. It always starts by saying, my son, my son. It's repeated, you know, in the first 8 chapters. It's a conversation between a father and a youth. Can be a teenager or early 20s. My son, he's not talking to a small boy, a toddler. You can know because the things that they discuss are things like a strange woman, gangsters, you know, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You remember those words? If you have not read, go and read it. It's a fatherly conversation. And it is with youths. And every time the father is trying to engage the youth and say, you know, don't forsake your father's law. Tie the mother's law around your neck. Bind them around your neck. And those words are really, really trying to give us the understanding that no youth should ever be left to himself or herself. They need guide. And mind you, the best guide you need to have and can have is the everlasting hand of your Father in heaven. God says, come to me. Will you not ask me to be your Father to guide you? Do you go to God every day and say, Lord, be my Father and guide me? You better. We sing a beautiful hymn. Guide thee, O my great Jehovah. Remember that song? It's a wonderful hymn. If your heart can say every minute, He leadeth me, O blessed thought. Yes, it's a blessed thought that He leads us. So let the Lord ask you, my son, call me my Father. Hold my hand, let me lead you. Verse 5, here is another question. Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. The next thing you want to ask is that, is his anger against me? First thing, is he a father to me to guide me? Second, is his anger against me to judge me? You better fear God. As much as there's a friendship with God, as much as there's a filial relationship with God, there must also be a fear for that great God. A fear of his justice. fear of is unmistakable judgment upon the unrepentant. That must frighten us. We cannot live without a moment without fearing God. We must cry out. Even though we know our sins are forgiven and Christ has died for our sins, past, present and future, we must know it is not a guarantee that we can now sin. God's justice against our sin that was poured upon Christ is also a call to come away from our sin and follow Christ. When God showed his wrath against us by pouring it upon Christ, let's don't say, oh, now I can sin. No. His wrath was not upon you so that you may not perish, but it was upon Christ that you may now see the severity of his wrath that Christ has taken on your behalf. And now be thankful and grateful to leave your sin as quickly as possible. And whenever necessary, in confession of sins and taking hold of Christ by faith. I think every Christian should ask all the time, are there things in my life which provoke God to great anger? And if you find something, you say, Lord, have mercy. You have the right to be angry with me forever, but have mercy in Christ. And by faith, you must pray. Of course, the answer should be no, yes, he will not be angry forever, because I trusted in Jesus, because I follow Christ by faith. And the Lord says, the reason why you need to ask this question is because thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldst. You have done your maximum. You know, we all have a habit of pushing the boundary as far as we can. And we do. Most of us do. You know, like children say, okay, son, come back home by 10 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, you call the daddy and say, Daddy, can I have 10 more minutes? Or can I come at 11? He said, okay. Why are you... Oh, you know, the barbecue finished late. You know, I thought they would finish early. That's why I said I'd come home at 10, but they just stopped. I have to wait for the bus. You know, give you all. You try to push the boundary as much as you can. And we all are accustomed to that sort of behavior in our relationship with God. You do evil as much as you can. Not as less as you can, as much as you can. That's how we are. And here, therefore, another investigation, verse 6. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, thou hast seen that which backsliding Israel hath done. Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She's gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. That's the question. The third question. Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel has done? The third investigation teaches you to not to feign, not to pretend that you have no sin. Acknowledge your sin. Now, a lot of people think, if I pretend I have not committed a sin, I will, and if nobody finds it out, I'm okay. So people commit sin in secret rooms, behind doors, quietly, away from parents and pastors and friends and siblings. You try to sin away from others, so by not letting others know of what you are, you think you are a person who is clean. No. You better know your own conscience will stand justifying your sin. Take a look at a few verses I want to bring to your attention. Romans chapter 2. The Lord warns us this through Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 2, please. Verse 16. Here Paul tells us, in the day when God shall judge, what? The secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. It might be secret to many, But it will not be a secret before the Lord. And you better acknowledge your sins. Don't pretend, don't feign that you are clean. Ask yourself, are there sins that I have not repented for? Are there sins that I quietly, secretly cherish in my life? I want to tell you something else. You know, some of us are so prone to certain sins. When we do those sins, we don't even realize it's a sin. Do you know that? Do you know there are sins that are not even recognized as sins in your life? It can be your pride. You know, you're always a very stuck-up person and you don't even realize you're stuck-up. You may be a greedy person and your greed may not be seen in stealing people's money, but just stingy, you know, very stingy. You don't want to be generous, you don't want to give to the Lord's work. You just hold it tight. That's your greed. But you think you are not greedy because you are not grabbing it from people. You're only keeping it for yourself. And so you think you are a very generous person. You are not. And some people who are committing adultery, now they don't commit adultery, they are faithful to their wives, but then they start pornography. But now, because they don't have a relationship outside with a woman other than his own wife, they think they are free from lust of sex. No. They're still addicted to what? The new form of sexual sin. So the thief stops his thievery, but he becomes stingy. The adulterous man stops his adulterous relationship, but now his eyes are after sexual sins. You understand what I'm trying to say? Sin sometimes changes shapes and forms in us, hiding itself, and we fail to recognize it. And cannot be that way. Cannot be that way. It will not free you from your sin. Your ignorance of your own sin, or your negligence of your sin, will not let you be free of your sin. Hidden sins will not be ignored by God. And so please go to Psalm 19, and this should be our prayer. Psalm 19. Like David, we must pray. Take a look. Psalm 19. In the light of God's word, David says in verse 13, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright." And before that he prayed, verse 12, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." He says, "O Lord, most of the time we tend to be blind toward our own sin. Who can understand his own errors?" That's why it's good to listen to preaching. It's good to have parents who sometimes insist that there are mistakes in us, though we don't think it's a mistake. Don't get upset with your parents who are very strict with you and, you know, try to, you may say, find fault. But they're not trying to make you look bad. They're trying to tell you that that's a sin, son. Daughter, that's a son. That's a problem. You better listen. You get very upset. You always like that. No, don't react that way. If that would somehow expose the wickedness in you, let it be. That's good. Because very seldom a man has the ability to see his own sin. If he understands sin as sin, he wouldn't commit it, right? And so let's pray like David. "Lord, I'm unable to see my sin sometimes. So please expose my sin to me that I may confess and repent and turn away from it. I may not presumptuously walk into my sin and live in sin as though I'm not committing any sin." May God help you to call Him Father and ask for His guidance. May God help you that you may not feign, that you may not pretend, but cry for His help. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we spend in your presence, allowing thy word to come to our hearts by your grace. It is your grace that granted all of us this opportunity to hear thy word and consider them. Oh Lord, we pray that Spirit will now work in a mighty fashion. Thank you for helping us to meditate, and we pray that the questions the doubt has asked will remain in our hearts in a very powerful way until we will give the right answers that you are searching, you are looking for from us. Thank you for dealing with us today. We pray that the rest of the day's activities will be guided by you. May these young lives be so sanctified by the blood of Christ and the Word and the Spirit that they may live in a wonderful relationship with God. Heal our backsliding. And may you continue to work with us and work in us that our hearts may be well established by faith in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And our life may be hid in Him, and also His life may be abundantly seen in our lives. This is our prayer, Father. Draw us closer to Thee in Jesus' name.